And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, verse 19, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. So this morning we're going to look at these three sons of Jacob. Asher. Asher means happy. Leah said in verse 13, happy am I. And she called her son's name Asher. And we have seen, as we followed these sons of Jacob and the meanings of their names, we have seen God's plan of salvation. All the way through. I don't have the poster up this morning, but you remember. And we saw the effect of Christian fellowship with each other, with other Christians, and with God, and the joy that comes from such a fellowship. The joy that comes from such a union that we are given when God saves us. When He changes our heart and puts His Spirit within us, we have union and communion with God. And then we seek out that same type of fellowship or communion or togetherness, love, with fellow saints. And how happy we are. What a joy it is. And we see that in the name Asher. Issachar, the word itself means higher, H-I-R-E, higher. And it speaks of, as we saw when we were studying the picture of salvation in the sons of Jacob, it pictures a life of service. A life of service. When God saves us, He draws us unto Himself. Jesus Christ is our example. The Holy Spirit draws us unto the Son of God. And did He not come to this earth and set an example of service for us? He did. Great example. What do we desire as newly born Christians but to serve? To serve God. And to serve others. A life of service. Then Zebulun. As soon as I can find where Zebulun is again. You see Zebulun being born in the 20th verse of Genesis 30. 19 said, Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. A good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. Zebulun signifies dwelling. What the name itself means, dwelling. And so we saw when we studied again God's plan of salvation in the sons of Jacob, we see that we are brought to dwell in in Jesus Christ. Remember, He is alive in us when we are saved. His Spirit lives within us. He dwells in us. He dwells in us. And we, in turn, dwell in Him. We love Him. Don't you love the Lord? Yes. With all your heart and soul, you love Him. How did you get to that point where you were able to love Him? The answer is, God saved you. You must be born again, the Lord Himself told Nicodemus. That's what happened to you. You were born again. You were made able, if you will, to dwell in Jesus Christ. We are to dwell in Him. We see that Leah's sons, the naming of her sons, and the reason for naming her sons, point to the occupation of the promised land. It looks forward to this time in the history of the life of the children of God, Israel, to be the nation Israel. It looks forward to this time when they occupied and enjoyed their occupation, their life in the promised land. The promised land. Remember when Jacob laid down to sleep on his way to the place where his mother's hen lived, and he had this vision, this dream of the ladder. Remember that? God promised Jacob a land, an inheritance of the land on which he laid, is what he told him. Where you're laying is going to belong to you. He promised him that land of Canaan. He also told him that no matter where he went, that he would always be with him, didn't he? He did. So as we look at the sons of Leah, their names, and the definitions of their names, and the reason that she gave them their names, we see Israel's occupation and Israel's enjoyment of the promised land. Issachar, well, Asher means joy. It points forward to that time when the Lord defeated all the enemies of the children of Israel in Canaan. Last time we were talking about how the Lord defeated their enemies. How when they trusted in the Lord, they were successful in battle. But when they took it upon themselves to feel like they could do it on their own and went their own way and didn't follow exactly what God told them to do, then they didn't succeed, but they failed. And now we see the joy of the children of Israel after God has defeated all their enemies. What a wonderful picture that is of God's spiritual children, us. What a wonderful picture that is. Do you realize this morning that you are in that same place of joy that the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan? You are. It's not true that God will defeat your enemies in the future, but it's true that He has already defeated all of your enemies. He's done that. He's defeated all of your enemies. Oh, the great accuser was there, accusing us, and rightly so, because all of us inherited that sinful nature from Adam. But Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us from before the foundation of the world, He loved us to the point that He agreed
in the everlasting covenant of God. He came to this earth and suffered, shed His blood, and died to purchase us. None can accuse us now. None. Why? Because we are in Christ, our Savior. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. See? We are in Him. Oh, what joy. What joy should fill our hearts this morning, knowing that we're going to reside and dwell with Him in heaven forever. Forever. Why is that? Because He loves you. We love Him this morning. I said before, with all our heart and soul, we love the Lord. We praise Him. We want to be closer and closer to Him. We want to know more and more about Him. We want to empty ourselves every day of the things of this world. Why? Because we want to be filled. We want to be filled with things spiritual. What a joy it is to know that. Issachar. It means a life of service. And it is a picture of us, God's chosen people. What are we going to be doing in Canaan? We don't think about that much. I'm not sure why. But I think we should. We don't have the thoughts much, at least I don't, of, I wonder what they're doing in heaven today. I think sometimes we need to be still and to think about that. Because that's where we're headed. We are predestined, Romans 8 tells us, we are predestined to be conformed, and that's like a potter takes a lump of dirt, a lump of clay, and makes something beautiful out of it, conformed. And then he conforms it, he makes it into an image of something, or someone. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of the very God that came to this earth and gave His life for us. So what are we going to be doing in heaven? This is not a temporary life of service, just while we're on this earth, in this life. No, it's not. It's an eternal life of service. Oh, serving God brings such joy to your heart. Just imagine, if you will, what it's going to be like in heaven to serve Him with no more sin present. No more pain present. No more stress present. No more evil present. No more flesh. But we'll be able to serve Him perfectly. Oh, what joy. I wonder what they're doing in heaven today. Sin and grief all gone away. I tell you, they're gathered around God's throne up there and they're praising Him and serving Him perfectly. They're praising Him. That's what we're going to do forever, is we're going to lift up the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world for us. Forever we're going to praise Him. Oh, how that ought to stir us up. What joy should overflow from our hearts, knowing that we are going to be with Him forever, praising Him, serving Him, without all these problems that we have every day, without all these things that move our attention somewhere else. We deal with that today, and it brings grief, doesn't it? It affects our joy, doesn't it? It does. But be of good cheer, because the day is coming, and soon will be here when we will serve Him rightly. All of these things that affect us and hinder us today, oh, when we're with Him in eternity, they won't be there. He has done away with all these things. He died on that cross for you and for me. And during that time, the 3 days, He defeated death. We have no reason to fear death. None. Because Jesus Christ has completely defeated death. Defeated it. Has no hold on you now. You shall live eternally. And that with your wonderful, loving Savior that died for you. He defeated hell. You don't have to fear hell anymore. God has given you an eternal inheritance. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful Father. He defeated the grave, didn't He? The grave couldn't hold Him. God the Father required a particular price, a particular payment for the sin of His elect. The sin of Israel, His chosen people. A particular payment. A human being was required to be perfect and to give up His life. Well, there wasn't one. Not one. Not one person. But God, in His eternal plan, overcame that obstacle that we faced. There was no hope for mankind. Because we could not produce a man that was not sinful. Couldn't do it. Our nature had us bound, you see. But God, again, in His eternal plan, sent His Son. Yes, He was all human. And yet, He was all God at the same time. He was affected by all the things we're affected by. He felt grief. He was a man of sorrows, Isaiah said, and acquainted with grief. He went through all those things. Did He know pain? He knew pain greater than I ever will. Yes, He was very familiar with pain. He was the perfect man. He was the chosen sacrifice. He's our high priest, and at the same time, acting as our high priest, He gave Himself for the sacrifice on the altar. Isn't that amazing? We cannot even reach the depths of this love that God has for us. And you know, it's this love that we show to others in Him. It's the love of Jesus Christ that lives in your heart for each other. It is. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. How we ought to be thankful. How do we know that we're going to go to heaven? It's a common topic today. Again, for some reason, as Sovereign Grace Baptists, we don't seem to talk a whole lot about it. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because of the fear of association. Maybe, I don't know, associating with other beliefs. But I think it's important that we do realize that God has gone to prepare a place for us. A very special place. A very special place. 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that we are the temple of God and that God's Spirit dwells or lives within us. Romans 8:12. Let's just turn there right quick. Romans 8:12. Keep in mind, the question was, how do we know? How do we know that we're going to heaven? We do. We know it in our hearts. I told you that 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that we are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Now let's read Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Let me back up a little bit. I won't be jumping right in the middle. Verse 10, Romans 8:10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's God the Father, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth where? In you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And that's your desire this morning. Don't you desire more of the Lord in your life? Don't you want to be drawn closer to Him? Well, we are told here, Paul tells us here, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's what I was speaking of earlier when I said that we need to daily empty ourselves of these worries, empty ourselves of these things of the world that we naturally are drawn to. And as we obey God's word and do this, God fills us more with Himself. Verse 14, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now notice this next verse. The Spirit itself, that's the Spirit of God. God the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. You know what a witness is, right? Beareth witness. You have a witness, you have somebody that does what? They confirm something, right? I had a witness. He saw me catch that big fish. Well, when somebody asked him about it, what did he say? Yeah. I can confirm that. I saw it. I can confirm it. It's what the Spirit of God does within us. The Spirit itself beareth witness, confirms with our spirit. Remember the question? How do we know? How do we know that we're going to heaven? How do we know? Without a doubt. This is how we know. How do we know we're children of God? The verse says, the Spirit itself, Romans 8:16, beareth witness or confirms with our spirit that we are who? The children of God. What a joyous thing. That's how we know. That's how we are confirmed in our hope. This hope that we have, it's not something that we're thinking positive about that maybe it'll happen. It's not that kind of hope. It's a sure hope. It's a completely 100% positive thing.
the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Let's go on.
And if children, then heirs. An heir is one who inherits, right? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ.
Oh, we are blessed past our human understanding, aren't we? We are joint heirs with Christ.
If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together.
We're going through this life now, seeking to serve Him, seeking to rightly follow Him and His examples, seeking to rightly praise Him. But as we were talking about earlier, we have hindrances, don't we? We do. We have things that get in our way. And we suffer because we allow these things to get in our way. We do.
Verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Praise God. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty." What is that? Glorious liberty. It's freedom, isn't it? Liberty? It's freedom. He's talking about us. "We shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption." That's where our human nature is today. That's what brings all these deterrents. That's what brings all these problems. It's this nature we're living in. Praise God. If the Spirit of God confirms or beareth witness with your spirit that you are the children of the great Creator, then you shall be delivered from this bondage of corruption we've been talking about into this glorious liberty of the children of God. All praise Him this morning. Oh, what an eternal life we have. Not that we're going to have. We have. You are spiritually alive today, and you shall live forever. Yes, a lot of us are going to go to the grave. But let me tell you, the grave has no hold on us. No, that's our bodies going there. To be absent from this body is to be present with this great Heavenly Father. It has gone to prepare this place for us. One of my favorite psalms that we sing quite often for that reason is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in verse 6 says this. Well, you know, there's just no good place to start. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Are you walking in the paths of righteousness today? Any at all? If you are, it's because you're being led. Realize that. Realize the power of your salvation. Realize the power of your spiritual life today and where it comes from. Give credit where credit is due, as we say. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for walking through this life. And there are a lot of valleys. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. There's that Spirit of God. My cup runneth over. Now verse 6, which is where I was going to start, but I just couldn't do it. Surely goodness and mercy. Who is good? Well, it is said in Scripture, there is none good but God. Surely goodness and mercy. Who is merciful? God. God is merciful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Doesn't that make you think about Jacob and the ladder? It does. God promised him, no matter where he went in all of his life, that he would never be alone because God would be with him. It's true for us. And I will dwell, there's that word again, I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a while, for 100 years, for 1,000,000 years. Nope, doesn't say that. It says forever. Forever. It'll never end. Praise God. It'll never end. John 14:23 tells us that he's gone, and in my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. Many mansions. A lot of people get caught up in the physical part of that. It's going to be streets of gold. And they are. No doubt about it. It's going to be mansions. And we're going to dwell and live in mansions. But let me tell you, those are just some side effects from being in the presence of God. That's just little side items. That's the street we're going to walk down to get to where we're going. Oh, what a place it must be. In the presence of God forever. Forever. Revelation chapter 21. And we'll close here. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, verse 1. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A beautiful, beautiful thing. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Praise God. There's not going to be any sin there. There's not going to be any corruption there. No, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Isn't that wonderful? They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise God. That day is coming soon. It's coming real soon. Look around in this world. He's coming back soon. Very soon. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Praise God. He did that when he saved you, didn't he? He did. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Isn't it amazing how God's Word just fits together everywhere you go? In salvation, he says you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new.
Now, as we're saved from this life that we're walking through in this nature, and we move into what we're talking about today, heaven. He says, I make all things new. The old things are passed away, but all things are new. It's just like salvation, isn't it? Everywhere we look, we see God's plan of salvation and the display of His great, magnificent love for us. All praising this morning. This is just a warm-up, because you're going to be praising Him forever and ever and ever. No end. There'll be no end to it.